You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, this is Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 87, and let's start with the bragging rights. Paul, you got this one, Matt, 64-36, I think it was. I picked Ciampa, and I want to say Killer Cross, but it's not that, whatever his new name is. And you picked Finn Balor's abs, and the thirsty people out there seem to agree with you from the comments seen on our poll. And go on, you want to
not exactly his abs, but it was the Velveteen Dream and Finn Balor, and let's face it, that's a match we all want to see.
Absolutely, I can't argue with that side of it.
Absolutely, yeah.
But looking at the people who were commented, it was like, oh, his abs, I'm gonna vote for that, or it's Finn Balor, I'm gonna vote for it. Was like, okay, all right, we're going on favorites rather than the actual moment. Hey, that's fine, it was for fun anyway. Now, you asked me, do I have a cold open? And I do, which is kind of good because I don't get to do an open agenda this week. And if I did, it probably would have been this anyway. It was a comment that you made to me. And this is something that's a big criticism of Americans. So I was kind of surprised it came from you, actually. We were talking in direct message, and I can't even remember what we were talking about. And you said the phrase that I could care less. Oh dear, that's not a very popular one with me. For obvious reasons, I'm pretty sure people know that. I'm very surprised as an English person that you didn't know
that you could care less. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very American thing, the could care less, because obviously that means that there is a lower bar. There is a very, very
My God!
No.
I say it.
You're dead. Because I said I'm going to do this in the cold open, and I was like, he has no idea what I'm talking about. He obviously thinks it's what the discussion is about, but no, it was just that. Matt has his head in his hands right now, so it was just a typo then, a misstep, shall we say.
Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. I'm embarrassed to have written that.
I was
doing a nice thing by saying thank you for everything you've done for me the last few days.
Hey, that's fine. Things like that happen when you text in. Sometimes it auto-corrects and it changes one thing. Well, while you're composing yourself again, I said I wanted to put a warning out at the start of this episode. So before we get started, I do want to say it. If you don't like listening to politics, you might just want to go ahead and skip this episode, because quite a few of my moments have got some political ramifications. So I'm warning you ahead of time. Now's your time to stop listening, I guess. Or just skip to the devil's advocate.
Okay, Graham, it's time to get cracking for the 87th time with some good cop moments.
Good!
All right, I was serious. If you don't want to listen to anything political, switch off, skip to the end. It's coming straight away. Sami Zayn on Twitter, April 17th. It was about 11:30 at night, so it quickly went into April 18th. His response to Donald Trump's tweet, liberate Virginia, liberate Michigan, liberate Minnesota. He set out a series of three tweets, one after the other. There is a type of stupidity and privilege that is so distinctly American, encapsulated perfectly by the idea that we are being oppressed and losing some sort of ideological war on freedom if we can't spend our evenings in a packed TGI Fridays at the height of a lethal viral outbreak. Now, I'm going to justify this as a good cop moment, the fact that Sami actually called people out for this one. And obviously, he's a wrestler, which is why it's appearing within this show. I think he's very brave of him to do this. We clearly know that Vince McMahon is clearly aligned with Trump. Trump actually referenced him as somebody who could help him as an advisor to restart the economy. So we know this is something that he hasn't been asked to put out as like a heel move or something. This is his own personal feelings. We know Sami Zayn speaks his mind. We've talked about this several times on this podcast. Things that he said, things that he's done, and yeah, he wants to do what is right. Now, Road Dogg actually called him out on this, and he responded to it. He said, all right, I'm clearly not calling all Americans stupid or liking every TGI Fridays. In short, I'm saying that conflating safeguarding public health through responsible social action with a non-existent war on liberty is stupid, and stems from a hyper-individualism specific to American culture. The more and more I see America on Twitter, the more and more I'm amazed it survived this long. Now, actually, sorry, this is somebody who responded in the comments this last part. There's such an entitlement of we're the best country in the world, meanwhile, when trying to reopen beaches in Florida, and they've got even more outbreaks in one day. I thought that was, like I said, I thought the whole thing from Sammy was very brave to say. Obviously, he's cut a lot of people as well. We know he's trying to reduce payload. To say something like that in the times that we're at right now, I think it needed to be said, but I think it was a very brave thing to say, considering all the things that are going on.
I would agree with being brave. As someone who, from another country, is seeing things from afar, and we only hear the bad stuff usually for American politics, let's face it, I can't give an unobjective opinion on everything that's happening apart from what I see in the news. However, I do have to say that Sammy's brave to do this, but I also admire a man who's happy to stand up for his beliefs and also stand up for voicing an opinion which is sensible, in my opinion.
And the reason I picked it specifically as my good cop moment as well, obviously it referenced Virginia, which is the state where I'm living at right now. And we've seen in the months, last few weeks as well, I think it was January to begin with, people were protesting about the gun rights and they were wearing masks. And then we saw them this week or last week, I guess it was, protesting about the rights to be able to go out and do what they want. And they weren't wearing masks. So some things that are very hitting very close to home right now with regards to those protests. So something I wanted to mention, but knowing I didn't have an open agenda item, was something I wanted to include with that. But yeah, Sami Zayn, I think he's pretty much always a good cop moment in our eyes.
And I thought I was the skillful one at twisting a moment to fit into a section. Right.
Last time you're going to see that this episode.
Right. Well, I've got four moments. But three of them must be check. So.
But shall I run the format by you again one more time?
No.
Shall I put you out like a little cheat sheet so you know how this show works?
If I may, I have a reason saying this. Okay. I could have gone for Raw or SmackDown or Impact or something like that. My good cop moment of the week is none of that. My good cop moment has nothing to do with any wrestling program I've watched this week.
Podcast?
A podcast, yes.
Ah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the finest interview I have listened to in years. Ladies and gentlemen, take a bow. MGB Wrestling Podcast.
Good.
MGB with their fantastic interview with Cabana Man Dan, a.k.a. Flip Flops Guy. This was your finest work you've ever done. Graham is blushing a little bit right now, but also probably beaming with pride. You guys, what more can I say when you did a stunning, stunning job? I'm not going to, like, emphasise too much. I want people to go listen to the episode because it's that good. But I will say, I love the idea when Dan was mentioning the idea of different universes being each promotion. I love that as a concept. I love that as an idea in general. It's brilliant. Guys, go listen to it because Mason does a good job leading the interview for most of it. He's really coming into his own. Jackson's typical wacky question, as always, was a good one. And Graham with some great insights as well. And I came into my interview learning a lot more about the indies than I did before. So I know quite a bit about indies nowadays, so. Gentlemen, congratulations on a fine job.
We changed the format up a little bit, and I don't know why it took me so long. Now I have 2 years worth of back catalogue. It seems sensible to go back and listen to reviews, listen to comments, because often we'll ask the question, and of course we don't get an answer because we're talking amongst ourselves. So it was good. It was a good starting point for doing that. We don't have many for Cabana Man Dan, as you will well know. But for future interviews we've got coming up, we have a lot more clips. So I think that's something that's going to be... Yeah, something that makes us unique. The thing that I was most proud about is Mason's development as an interviewer. The time that he put into it, he gave it a lot more thought. We looked at not just before he would just like write you'd give him, you go, I say, hey, go write this out. He spent 5 minutes, write a few questions, that would be it. Like, we thought about reordering them, like, how do they fit in, rephrasing certain questions to get perhaps longer answers. Cabana Man Dan was the perfect guest to have as well. He gave us some things that we certainly didn't know, like his Nova Pro debut. We haven't seen that. We weren't there for that. That was fascinating to me. And he's been very gracious as well. We said we had way too many questions for him. And he said at the end of the interview, let's do this again. And we are definitely going to be following up with Cabana Man Dan. Great guy, really interesting. I just regret recording a day early because afterwards, I forgot what his name is. Mike Jackson appeared on Impact Wrestling from Alabama. It's like, ah. And then somebody else mentioned this week, they were talking about Southern cooking. I was like, I didn't even think about it. So there's a lot more that we can certainly talk to Cabana Man Dan, but I certainly appreciate those comments. We were very proud of what we did. We thought that was probably a high mark for us so far.
This is always going to be my comment of the week. Just to have a good stuff to talk about in my speed check, but talking of which, take yours away, sir.
Mine's pretty short, actually. While I was researching for a future interview, I came across the name Chris Silvio, and wasn't familiar who Chris Silvio was. He was actually listed as a tag team partner for somebody, so I checked, and actually they miscredited him. Anyway, I carried on researching him because he's actually a wrestler at BCW, and I found a clip on YouTube from the Chris Silvio show. It was 15 minutes, and it was tagged on Twitter as, "This is for every independent wrestling talent, promoter, or crew member. We are professional wrestling, and we won't be forgotten." And a video clip specifically is listed as "Speaking up for independent wrestling. Chris has a message for the world and the pro wrestling industry. Don't forget independent wrestling." Only 15 minutes, Mag's 5 minutes. Oh, sorry, 7.5 minutes if you listen at times two. He talked about the things like the people who are the trainers right now. Suddenly, they've had the rug literally pulled from under their feet at this point. The fact that everyone's had to leave. They still have to pay the rent. But they're not getting any money in at all. So this is a really tough time for not just the WWE people, the much lower people down as well. Some of their regular jobs, sometimes this is just a little income supplementer. Not only have they lost that, they've lost their real jobs as well. So he talked a lot about this. I thought it was great. He also said at the start, this is unscripted. I'm just going to do it from the top of my head. And he just talked for 15 minutes. He hit every single bullet point. Like if I was doing this myself, every single thing I wanted to talk about was perfect. It was very poignant. It was heartbreaking at the same time. But every chance we get to promote indie wrestlers, go support them while you can. It's a very uncertain time for them. I would definitely recommend Chris Silvio show. Pretty easy to find on YouTube. It would have been something released probably within the last few days.
Go check it out, guys. Definitely.
Oh, check out his Patreon as well. I'm actually going to subscribe to it. He has 3 different podcasts out, mainly to do with the indies. $5 a month, and unfortunately Patreon, it does, if you sign up on the 29th of the month, you only get to the rest of the month. So I'm going to wait until May 1st, and I'm definitely signing up for that little Patreon.
Only 3 podcasts?
With it each week. So in the course of a month, you'd probably get 12 podcasts, plus some other things as well. But from what I heard, is somebody who's very interesting and has a good insight onto indie wrestling, which you know is right up my street.
Indeed, and only half an hour of podcasts I do. Okay, speech at moments for me this week. 3 very simple ones, really. Things that made me smile was Drew McIntyre. At the end of his match, he slid on the ramp, grabbed the WWE title as he did so, and posed with it as he did so. Whether he meant to slide is irrelevant, to be really honest. Because if he meant to do it, awesome. If he slipped and he styled it out, even cooler. Drew McIntyre is so over the face, in my opinion, right now. Right now, if there were people there in attendance, they would have been eating that one up. Absolutely eating it up. Apollo Crews is in Money in the Bank. Finally, happy to see him getting a push. Dana Brooke, likewise, getting the push on the women's side of things, beating Naomi. Because, of course, she was supposed to be in the match at WrestleMania and had to pull out due to allegedly being quarantined, so very happy to see her back in the mix. And I cross now to Impact Wrestling for a match which blew my mind, with Madison Rayne on commentary for Smiley Kylie. What a match. Guys, go check it out. I watched it twice this morning. It was that good.
I haven't had a chance today. We talked about the fact that this week's going to be a little crazy for me. Today and Monday are my two busiest days. And literally, I haven't had a chance to watch any TV at all. So I knew that I wasn't going to get a chance to talk about Impact last night, unfortunately. But I will definitely be going and watching it later.
Good. Bad.
I'm Coach Mikey, representing the Ugly Ducklings. And you're listening to the Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast.
Good. Bad.
All right. Now, I talked to you last week. I said I had a quiz for you, but I didn't quite have it prepared, or I forgot to bring it down, which I know was very cryptic. I talked about the fact that I had a WrestleMania program for Jackson, and we were kind of reading through it. And there was something in particular in WrestleMania 2 that caught my attention. So it was a battle royal match that featured wrestlers and NFL players. So while I was looking through that, I was wondering, I wonder if Matt could pick out, if I was to give him 10 NFL players, could he pick out the people who were actually in the WrestleMania 2 battle royal? Now, I thought that might be a little bit mean as it was. So I was like, this is probably going to be the easiest quiz you've ever had, actually, Matt. So this is kind of stealing from MGB a little bit. But the quiz this week is NFL players who appeared at WrestleMania 2 or current San Francisco 49ers players. And for people who don't know, Matt is a big San Francisco 49ers fan. So we'll see how well this actually works out for you. So I guess you're just going to say wrestler or 49ers, right? I guess that works.
Yeah, I guess so.
This couldn't end embarrassingly at all, could it?
No, it couldn't. Can I write down going along? Is that right?
I was just going to pick NFL players from the 80s, and I was like, nah, this would be way more fun. Now, obviously, I'm not picking Jimmy Garoppolo or anybody like that. That was a little too famous. But all right, let's start off then with Bill Frolick.
WrestleMania 2.
Ernie Holmes.
WrestleMania 2.
Joe Staley.
49ers.
Jimbo Covert.
WrestleMania 2.
Jimmy Ward.
Is that Jimmy Ward, you say?
Jimmy Ward.
I believe you're the 49er.
Kyle Nelson.
Nelson. That would be a 49er.
Harvey Martin.
49er. No, yeah, 49er, yeah.
Russ Francis.
WrestleMania 2.
Solomon Thomas.
49er.
Tevin Coleman.
49er.
And William Perry.
Well, I know him. He's a Hall of Famer, so he's definitely WrestleMania 2.
Like I said, I figured this one might be... You had two chances. Like, you should have known if we're in a WrestleMania match anyway. And if you weren't sure, then you should have known from what your team is. So you'd expect a good score for this, right, Matt?
I'm expecting a reasonably good score, but...
All right, should we find out how you did?
Yeah.
You actually got 10 out of 11. The only one that you missed was Harvey Martin, who was actually a Cowboys player who appeared in WrestleMania. All the other ones were good. Tevin Coleman is the starting running back at the beginning of the season, so that was a pretty big name. Joe Staley I recognized as well, but I wasn't trying to make this, but I wouldn't want to make it too difficult. I was like, I'm going to go pretty fair on this. I knew that you would know William the Refrigerator Perry. Even my mum knows who that is, and she does not follow American football at all. But he was in WrestleMania, so obviously he had to appear in that list. The players at WrestleMania, Bill Frolick was a Falcon. Ernie Holmes was a Steeler. Jimbo Covert was a Bears player. Harvey Martin, we already said, was Cowboys. Russ Francis was kind of a trick question. He was at WrestleMania, but he was a 49er, but he wasn't a current 49er. That's why I had to distinguish between those. And William Perry, of course, played for. I guess probably you would have been in nappies at this point, I would say, to use the English.
Bearing in mind WrestleMania 2 was when I was 2 years old. Actually, I wasn't even 2 at that point, Graham.
William Perry was from the Chicago Bears. Very famous player.
I do remember him being inducted to WrestleMania 22, which was in Chicago, so that makes sense.
Yeah, that would make sense. And Jim McMahon, of course, the famous quarterback with his headband at that point as well. And one of the classic teams.
For the benefit of the tape, I'm a casual fan of the 49ers, not a proper hardcore fan. So any 49ers fans out there, I hope I didn't do you too much of a shame there.
If I'd have said Jimmy Garoppolo, then would you have known that?
Isn't that the character in a children's book?
No, it's their starting quarterback. Okay, I took Richard Sherman out because I thought that would have been too easy. But I guess if you didn't know who Garoppolo was, I probably could have picked anybody on that team then.
American football is not really my strong area of expertise. Although I do know the names of certain teams. That's about it.
Good. Bad.
Right, guys. As you all know, that you can get 30 days free with the code GoodCopBadCop on PowerSlam.tv. However, don't forget there is an app you can get from both the iOS and the Google Play stores. However, to get the code, you must go onto the website to use it. Otherwise, you will not get the discount. Once you've done that, go back to the app and you can watch your heart's content. 30 days free. Code GoodCopBadCop.
Right, Graham. While I say this with extreme concern in my voice, you're bad cop, sir.
Bad.
I'm thinking you're worried because you think I'm going to go political. I'm not, but it relates to the political scene, but indirectly. This is from an article on SI.com from Justin Barrasso, April 19th. It talks about Shazza McKenzie, clearly an MGB favorite. It talks about how she traveled across from the United States a few weeks ago, hoping to be part, obviously, of WrestleMania weekend, pretty much like she was last year, get involved in the indie scene, all those things. Quote, I quit my job, took my life savings and booked that flight, says McKenzie, who is a 31-year-old. I had $0 left in my bank account, end quote. Whew. So basically, she went all in on this, literally in this case. And she says, it's an incredibly nervous feeling to leave your whole life behind for 2 months and couch surf in another country, but I just had to trust that things would work out. Within hours of her arriving in the United States, this is when things started to close down. Shows started to get cancelled, and even worse for her, she realized that, I could get stuck in a country and not be able to get out either. So what she did was she took the opportunity and basically flew straight back to Australia. So I think he said she spent $2,500 on the air ticket. Obviously, Australia is a long way away, so it's going to be a big flight. And that's what happened. And she quit her job, and she said, actually, even if I hadn't quit my job, that job's gone anyway. It's one of those that shut down because of all the things that are going on. Clearly, it's a bad cop moment for Shazza. A really interesting interview, but your heart breaks when you're reading like that. One of the nicest people on the indies, through no fault of her own. Obviously, it's tough for people who are in the US trying to be a wrestler right now. For somebody who invested all that time and money into that and then not happen at all, a real shame. I'm not going to spoil the article because I think it's one that people should go look at. But other people who feature in the interview, Danhausen, Warhorse, Christian Casanova, and Layla Hirsch. I thought they had a good mix of people who were in that. Shazza, I think, is probably a more established figure. She's in her 30s. We know she's appeared at AEW and places like that. And Christian Casanova is somebody who's been on my radar a little bit more in the last few months. I think mainly through, I think it's Beyond Wrestling where I've seen him. And I think I saw him in one of the organizations up in Maine as well. And Layla Hirsch is somebody who I've definitely seen on a few little shows I've been watching here and there as well. Matt, what are your thoughts?
I can't really add much to it, Graham. I have the same opinion, to be brutally honest, because we have the same sort of opinions on this, to be fair. That's why we work so well together, because usually our opinions on most stuff are very similar. I feel for Shazza massively. I love her work. I've gutted about all this. This has created havoc for everybody. So
I'll end with one of her quotes then. We don't know essentially what type of world we'll live in 3 months' time. We could go back to normal life in a month. Or this could be much bigger than all that. That's the scary part. Yeah, people have no idea when this is going to end. And I think perhaps people who are trying to end it in that month or earlier, I think they're going to be a little premature. I know people have been posting about the Spanish flu, like the first bout only took like took 3 million people. And the second bout took closer to 50 million. So we have to be very careful if we're not going to learn the lessons of 100 years ago.
Yeah, despite the fact that as of yesterday on day of release, UK trials of a vaccine did start. This is not going to be a quick solution. I'm going to say something which is probably quite scary, Graham, actually, to say out loud. The world we lived in, that's gone forever. Okay, the world has changed forever. Okay, what we do now is learn from what's happened and make sure it doesn't happen again. Because a lot of people have unfortunately suffered as a result of this. It could have been a lot worse, and it could still get a lot worse. We need to learn from this as a race of humans in general. We need to learn what went wrong and make sure mistakes don't happen again, because next time it could be worse. And I don't mean in terms of this one, as in what could come 50, 100 years down the line. The human race needs to learn and evolve to survive. Has to, always. And unfortunately, I mean, we love our wrestling, but unfortunately, what we love more is everyone being safe. And that's the first concern right now.
Let's continue with the gloom and doom then. What is your bad cop moment for the week?
Bad!
Okay, in comparison, it's actually quite small potatoes. But you did touch on this last week in your speed check, but I'm hammering this home right now. Nia Jax. You mentioned last week about her commenting about, she name dropped inadvertently on backstage about not being happy about Alexa Bliss working with unsafe people. I know you've been busy this week, Graham, but have you had a chance to catch anything from Raw?
I watched the top 10 highlights and I didn't see really much story development. I did see it was a Kairi Sane, I believe. I think I saw the end of the match.
Nia Jax basically threw Kairi Sane into the corner and her neck ricocheted off the bottom turnbuckle. To say Twitter exploded is an understatement. Irresponsible is irresponsible. Now, I said last week that Nia Jax being back, maybe in a week before actually, Nia Jax being back, she had worked us on the greenness off. I have to retract my statement, guys. I have to say I'm wrong. Right now, Nia Jax, she's making Ryback look safe, and that's saying something.
I don't think it's going to surprise you. That moment you talked about did not feature in the top 10.
No, I don't suppose it did. Especially having that they renamed this moment and dropped the Annihilator. Why? Why? Why rename a Samoan drop to that? It's stupid.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. I like that. I like the name. It sounds cool. It distinguishes it a little bit. And it's obviously a pun on a name, obviously. But... so I'm going to disagree, respectfully disagree.
I hadn't even made that connection.
You didn't pick out that Nia was in the name?
I thought it was annihilating an opponent. I genuinely didn't put two and two together on that one.
Bad, bad, bad.
Bad cop of me for that, because Graham is now wetting himself.
Well, that goes in as one of my speed bad cop moments you're not recognising that. My other one is... Kurt Hawkins' wife, Lizzie Myers, she wrote a blog and it was about her husband being released from WWE. So, quote, 1 year ago, I left my job in advertising to be a stay-at-home mom. I started to learn photography, envious of my husband's passion for doing something that he loved, wrestling. I am beyond grateful that I was even able to be a stay-at-home mom. In this expensive world that we live in, getting home at 6:30 wasn't cutting it for me anymore. I wanted to be home with my daughter and see my husband when he was at home. Perfectly reasonable. There is so much uncertainty in the world, it's terrifying. 1 week prior, they had wanted him to fly to Orlando to film for Raw, and the next week, they are getting rid of people. I went from being scared of my husband coming home from work with the coronavirus to days later him getting fired. I know there was a lot of moments. I know you talked about Drake Maverick straight away because you were kind of following things ahead of time. I didn't get a chance to see all that stuff. The real bad cop moment of this, though, is the next part, Matt. Why do I feel helpless? Well, for starters, I am 30 weeks pregnant. It's not the most satisfying feeling when your husband loses his job and you don't have one for you to fall back onto. The timing of this, I know you've talked on Talk the Table that they're millionaires and they want to make as much profit as possible. They must have known the fact that he had a wife that was 30 months pregnant. Now, I did look. Kurt Hawkins was on $200,000 a year. Now, I'm sure you wouldn't sneeze if you suddenly got offered $200,000 a year. It's not a massive amount. Once you take out taxes and stuff, that's suddenly going down to, that's not something where he can retire after 10 years and just say, that's it, I'm never working again. It's sure, it's nice, but it's not those big sums. Rusev, I think he's going to be fine. He was on $600,000. His wife, Lana, I believe, signed $1 million a year contract. I believe. I might be wrong on that one. I'm doing it from memory. Not always that clear. Sarah Logan only earns $80,000. That's not much at all. So, yeah, the timing of it, absolutely awful. And this is supposed to be a speed moment, so let me move on. New Day winning the SmackDown tag team titles. Ugh, I like New Day.
New Day rocks! New Day rocks! New Day rocks!
I'm suddenly taken back to a mini golf course in Clacton, probably about nearly 2 years ago.
Mason sucks! Mason sucks! Mason sucks. He does, and he's actually awesome. Right, okay. Let's get on to my speed check. Sheamus being jobbers. Here we go again, people. Sheamus is so much better than beating jobbers. Now, I get things are a little bit difficult at the moment, but really, what does Sheamus beating jobbers prove? We know he's a beast in the ring. We know he can go. What's the point? And Braun Strowman on my moment of bliss. Now, are we supposed to believe that Braun is that stupid? Wait, I'm answering my own question here. Clearly, Alexa says it's not from her, and he didn't believe her. I'm sorry. You said that you could spend the vendetta for a lot of things. Apart from when Maddie was at the phone alone, but I can't even believe that she wouldn't believe the person he rides with on WWE Ride Along and tagged with for two seasons on Mixed Match Challenge, which is amazing, by the way, still. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. Speed check done.
I'm going to add one more bit to that. That did make the top 10 moments. So I was kind of, I was like, if that made the top 10 moments, then I'm guessing I probably made the right choice of only watching 5 minutes of Raw this week.
Number 6 as well on SmackDown.
Good! Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good! Bad!
Graham, we've talked about the good and the bad. Do I need to be worried with your unshorts moment?
Unshorts?
Possibly. I'm going to reference what I said earlier a little bit. I'm going to start off with reading something. And like I say, I know you don't get all the news in England because obviously America is such a big place. So Georgia is opening up, and I'm talking about the state Georgia, not the country, is opening up businesses on the day we're releasing this podcast. Things like gyms, hair salons, barbers, spas, bowling alleys, and tattoo parlors. as long as owners follow strict social distancing and hygiene requirements. Now, I'm not quite sure how a barber is going to do social distancing. Anyway, that's beside that. We'll ignore that for right now. By Monday, movie theaters may resume selling tickets, and restaurants limited to takeout orders could return to limited dine-in service. Now, right now, this clearly has nothing to do with wrestling at all, so I'm going to bring it back in again. Diamond Dallas Page told TMZ he's a big fan of Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, who made this decision. In fact, he voted for him, but he's not down with lifting these restrictions. Diamond Dallas Page Yoga is going to, the area where he works in, is going to remain closed. He said, instead, I'm going to err on the side of caution for the Yoga Performance Center. Oh, that's pretty clever how he came up with that part. So why is this not a good cop moment then? Well, he continued, if it works for other people, then let them do it. But he says he's advising friends to remain home and continue to social distance until health experts get a better grip of the coronavirus. The reason I'm putting this as my unsure moment is I don't think he went far enough. When I first heard that, hey, great, you're going to close the Yoga Performance Center, I was like, this is going to be my short good cop moment. I don't think he went far enough. I think he let them off the hook a little bit. He's basically still advocating that, hey, you can still do this stuff. He's saying you should stay at home, but I don't think he went far enough. I think he could have really driven that point home. Kudos to him for doing that and closing it, but I'm not sure that he went far enough, which is why obviously it's in my unsure section.
Well, that's fair enough, Graham. I get that totally. Mine's a little bit less serious.
Unsure.
But it's still something I'm not sure about. Some would say it isn't, but Tori Wilson, WWE Hall of Famer, of course. Whether or not I think she should be is a matter of opinion. Mine, and I don't think she should be, but in any case, Graham's fanning himself, which means he's either overcome with emotion right now or he's trying out for Cleopatra. Right, so Hall of Famer Tori Wilson recently revealed on social media that The Undertaker's ex-wife threatened to beat her up backstage, apparently. Apparently, Sarah was under the impression that Tori was interested in a married man that she worked with. I'm quoting Tori Wilson here. She was a little crazy. I'm just going to tell you, she was bat bleep crazy. She did think I liked someone. Not her husband. She thought I liked someone else and wanted to beat me up because she thought I liked someone's husband, which I didn't. That's not my game. Why do we care? I'm unsure as to why she's bothering to talk about this. Literally, nearly 20 years later. Why? This is irrelevant in the grand scheme of things in general. I'm not sure, apart from trying to get her face on TMZ. Any ideas, Graham, why she's trying to do this? You're a social butterfly.
I've actually just subscribed today. I saw something on Twitter. Mark Adam Hegarty is doing a seminar on social media. And he's been doing it around different areas. I've seen him do it a few times. I know several people who have attended it who I follow on Twitter. And he's doing it now where you can basically just watch it on YouTube. And I just signed up for that. So perhaps if you ask me next week, I might have a much better idea why she was doing that. But right now, I'm afraid I have no answers.
Fair enough, Graham. Your speed shape unshorts moments, sir.
I asked the boys this on View from the Top Rope last week as well, and I'm going to mention it again. Why is Tamina getting a chance at the SmackDown Women's Championship? I have no idea why that's happening. And the only other unsure moment I have is something I saw posted on Twitter, and I have to admit, I'd totally forgotten this side of it. If you remember last year with WrestleMania and the one we attended in 35, we had Batista there. And there was a little Twitter back and forth with him and Dana Brooke. And the question was that somebody asked, do you think they ever got together? I'm unsure. I have no idea. I remember the story developing and then didn't hear anything a year later. Not one of the bigger moments of the week, but something I was unsure of.
Cheers for that. Almost choked my Bacardi, sir.
That's it for me.
I didn't see it coming.
No, so, it's something I'm unsure of, and I only had one thing anyway. So I was like, hey, I'll throw that in there. I'd totally forgotten about that story.
I hadn't even heard about it. Right, so, right, my speed check is, well, usually it's MTB related recently, and it continues to be so.
Alright. You sure this is not bad cop? This is normally you slamming me for all the things I said that were wrong.
I'm unsure because it's a question. Okay, I'm not sure what the answer's going to be, but... Quote. Interviews aren't really our thing. End quote.
I think I recognise that quote.
That would be, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of a fantastic MGB review. I forget the actual event itself, but at the end of that event, Graham said, Matt Willis, who's not in my good book right now, and then Mason said good in the background. I'm like, cheers, kid. But I need to talk to you about the podcast. And like, I may have someone about an interview. And you wouldn't interview the Ugly Duckling. You had a quiz, which was great. It was great. Made a Christmas cracker. It was fantastic. Why are you all of a sudden so keen on doing interviews? Is it because you progressed with the podcast? Or is it because now you've got more confidence? Or because now is the right time? I'm unsure of the answer. I'm just curious to know why you now want to do interviews.
All right, so let's think about when this was. You said this made a Christmas cracker. Now, that means that it made a Christmas cracker fall 2018. So this was, if I remember, I think this was November, actually. I think it was a November show. So we'd only been doing podcasting at that time for about 8 months. So absolutely, that was not our thing at that point. We were still finding our feet. The reason we're more prepared to do it now is that I think certain people within the local industry know who we are. Like, they see us. You don't get many kids actually attending the wrestling events. So the fact that Mason's there, he does tend to stand out. So I think it's a little easier now when we've seen some of these people several times. I think it's much easier to say, hey, is it okay? Would you be interested in doing an interview? Whereas at that time, we were still, we didn't know the wrestlers as well as that. The Ugly Ducklings perhaps would be an exception because we did still talk to them a lot, but probably not at the level where we are right now. I think timing was a big part of that. And I think if you got to remember as well, at that time as well, Matt, we were only reviewing WWE events with the exception of a Nova Pro once a month. So we probably reviewed 6 Nova Pro events and that was it. So I think that was a little different. Once Nova Pro closed down, a lot more places obviously opened up, and that's exposed us to a lot. It actually worked out to be kind of a good thing. It took us out of our comfort zone a little bit. We traveled to new places. We've seen new wrestlers. And certainly think 2 years down the line, I'm much happier to ask a wrestler, hey, are you interested in doing that, than I was after only doing this for like 6 to 8 months, I think.
What Graham hasn't figured out yet, guys, I mean, I'm sure moment basically just to plug MGB every week on his behalf. They haven't got to worry about me doing on Twitter so much anymore. So, guys, go back and listen to all the MGB interviews. They're great. And actually, go back and listen to the cracker with me and Jack introducing that quiz because it is brilliant.
I've got to say, we played to our strengths and it worked perfectly. It was the way we were looking for a way to include Jackson more at that time as well. And it seemed like the ideal way. And also, it didn't take up time. I don't like taking wrestlers' time. Like, after an event. Like, I don't want somebody to stay around after an event. But this was over in 10 minutes. So it was pretty quick. It was fun to do. It got Jackson involved as well. And but I think for those reasons, at that time, it worked absolutely perfectly. As we've watched more and more indie events, we've started to have more questions, as you've heard on our interviews. On our reviews, we ask a lot more questions now, and I think it's logical that we actually ask those questions directly to the wrestlers now as well. So, yeah, I think it's just one of those evolution or evolution. I never remember which is the English pronunciation anymore of the podcast.
Both work, Graham. It's fine. And, of course, you also got a little chat with Josh Fuller about that as well. So I take indirect credit for that in the first place. I kind of push you towards it in the first place, so... Although you got mad at me for it, I take full acclaim for pushing you and giving you the nudge you needed.
I don't think we ever mentioned on air the other person that you tried to arrange an interview for us, from somebody who famously does not like doing podcasts as well. That was,
I didn't know that at the time.
Very cringeworthy, but hey.
Good. Bad.
All right, you won the vote this week on a bragging right, so I already did my open agenda in a different segment, so go ahead, tell us what your open agenda is for this week then, please, Matt.
I'm trying to be more positive about it, Graham, because the world needs positivity at the moment. With the crisis in the world and, you know, everything going on, lockdowns around everywhere, it's just so depressing all the time. So I've been thinking from my agenda this week, what's going on today? What today is different? What is good? And simple, on day of recording, it's World Earth Day. And right now, I look outside my window right now, the sun is still up, it's gone 8 o'clock at night, the sun is, well, not saying the sun is up, but the blue sky out there, it's beautiful. The world right now is, in terms of climate change, it's recovering quite nicely from it at the moment. There's dolphins in the rivers of Venice, apparently, anyway. No fish have definitely come back to it in general. There's planes in the air, which is obviously a good thing for, you know, the ozone layer and everything like that. There's cars on the roads. You know, people are walking more, riding bikes. People in general being nicer to each other in general. Overall, there's exceptions if you've got a strange blonde wig and you have orange skin, for example. But that's my political part for the day. But in general, being nice to people is something that most people are being now. And World Earth Day is an extension of that right now. Last year, WrestleMania, for example, Graham, we saw the hemp world championship belt Daniel Bryan had, for example. WWE actually used that as their symbol of celebrating World Earth Day. Go back and see when he unveiled it, sort of thing. It was, you and Mason loved it. I hated it. But when you think about what it stands for in general, Daniel Bryan spun the environmental message to his advantage. Just like CM Punk used a twist straight edge to his advantage, good or bad, which side he was on. World Earth Day right now, it means so much more today than it had in previous years. Because, yes, there's something terrible engulfing this planet right now. But the planet is beautiful. Planet is beautiful at the moment. Blue skies, I know, I've seen the walks you've had. Not so much blue skies across Virginia right now, I know, but blue skies all over England at the moment. But your boy, and I mean your youngest boy, he's been loving his walks. What 6-year-old loves going for a walk? Really? So, the next generation, as far as I'm concerned, I'm learning something right now. The Earth can be beautiful if you look hard enough. And thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
And quote from my 6-year-old yesterday when his brother asked him, we were talking about Beyblades, and Mason asked him, do you still play with your Beyblades? He's like, nah, I'm not into that anymore. I'm into the world right now. I was like, yeah. Great little quote from my little 6-year-old.
Cool little dude he is. What did he say earlier, Graham, about a wrestling federation he wants to start up?
Oh, gosh. We're getting prepared for our next review of Nova Pro, which comes out on Monday. And we were talking about, Brittany Blake was on, and I was kind of, yeah. I kind of researched, Mason watches the matches for obviously like the, what's going on in matches, and I kind of researched it. And I was trying to remember when we last saw her, so I was kind of looking back. We had seen her at Flying V, and we missed the one at Nova Pro. She had a fans bring their own weapons to Nova Pro against Tara Calloway. And anyway, that passed. Then like 2 minutes later, he's like, I want to set up a wrestling organization. It's like, I'm going to have fans bring their own boxing gloves to a match. I was like, okay. Then he said, he had another one. Fans bring the heaviest thing they can lift to a match. I don't think I included that in the tweet. A North Pole match.
I've got ideas for that one.
And I think he's had a freight train match as well. I was like, hey, I'm all in on this. Whatever you want to do, buddy. You got my curiosity piqued anyway.
I'm going to say a sentence, and anyone out there, take it with a pinch of salt. Vince McMahon listen to this kid. Because right now, you're doing cinematic matches. The mind of a six-year-old is where you need to be right now. What are you thinking right now? Jackson, my God. Freight train match sounds brilliant.
Can I ask you a question? I asked him about one of the matches, so I want to know what you think. What do you think would be entailed in a fans bring their own boxing gloves match?
I'm guessing fans bring boxing gloves and throw them into the ring.
That's what he said. That's not what I thought. In my head, I was thinking it was like a lumberjack match. Like all the fans are on the outside and they're wearing gloves. And if you get thrown to the outside, you're punched until you get back into the ring.
I like that as well. I like both of them to be fair though.
It'd be a chaos for the wrestlers because people would totally abuse it. But okay, no, that's what he said. He said you throw a glove into the ring. I was like, oh okay, that's not what I was thinking at all.
It's just a Milwaukee match. That one's for you, Chad and Diesel. A North Pole match sounds like the sort of thing. Sounds basically like a pole match, basically, and I'd want a pole match. Or maybe they compete in winter coats. I don't know. Or a penguin on a pole. I'm not sure. Freight train match though. Very simple. Freight train match. You can film it thematically. Do it like the Boneyard match. Film it in a train yard. Winner is the first person to throw someone into a freight train car and lock the door.
Oh, brilliant. I like it. Yeah, there you go.
And that one, by the way, was off the top of my head right now because I hadn't thought about that one. It was the only North Pole one I've been thinking about. So there you go. And thematically, there's so much you can do in a train yard. So much, and you can social distance and everything in it. Vince could do that. Vince, book us, seriously.
The roundhouse, so you could be spinning around, you could film it from a fixed camera, and the wrestlers are rotating on the round. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I tell you, he's got the ideas right now. He's got it.
Good!
All right, shall we move on to the devil's advocate for this week, where we have to defend the statement for 20 seconds? It's supposed to be wrestling related, but Matt's normally, he makes up his own rules as he goes along. Would you like to go first or second?
I'll go first, Graham, please. I'm up for this week. I've got this.
Okay, I'm going to get my stopwatch ready because that was the one thing I didn't prepare ahead of time. Okay. All right. If tag team championship matches are going to be decided by singles competition, it only makes sense that singles title matches are held under tag team rules going forward.
Absolutely. This happened on multiple occasions before, Graham. Happened at Backlash 2001, the WWE Championship and Intercontinental Championship were on the line. And it happened with Santino Marella and Beth Phoenix versus Mickey James and Kofi Kingston. All titles on the line in that one as well. Singles titles all the way. This is something that's been done before. It should happen going forward.
I know you talked about it last week when you asked the question about why is it. Then I saw it looked like that's what happened again this week, as far as I could tell from my top 10 moments.
It did. It did. And you thought I didn't. If it was an enjoyable match. You didn't like the outcome, but it was an enjoyable match still. Right, Graham. Your devil's advocate is as follows, and I make no apologies for this. This is brilliant. Just the one this week as well.
Okay. Bring it on.
Your devil's advocate is, after interviewing the man himself, I'm now more convinced than ever Cabana Man Dan is nothing more than a comedy wrestler.
Well, absolutely. He talked about it constantly. I'm going to say he talks about his flip-flop chops. How can you judge a wrestler on the quality of his footwear that he's got? The cheapest footwear that you possibly got. Coconut. He seemed so concerned that he actually lost his coconut as well. Like, who cares? What's that got to do with anything? Buying cheap little gimmicks from a Party City store. Focus on the technical wrestling. Learn from Mike Quackenbush.
Brilliantly well done, sir.
Oh, Mr. Willis, that is way below the belt, as you know. You pick out. I'm going to have to stop producing MGBs. You keep taking things from that and using it against me. I thought it was a good one.
It was a perfect example of a devil's advocate, what it should be, and a perfect answer, sir. That is why we're a good team.
I did like his comment in response to that, that yes, it gets his foot in the door, but then once people realize that he's a good wrestler, he then gets to stay there as well. And I thought that was the perfect. I guess that's the thing. You've got to get people's attention quickly. We know that we're living an era where if you don't make a connection within 5 seconds, I think people will prefer to switch the channel or whatever it is. So you've got to make a connection quick. And he definitely does. Although we didn't say much in those first few reviews, he was somebody that did stand out to us. that tryout show, I think that there was 15 matches, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Hardly any of them were singles matches. Most of them were tag team matches or like six-way scrambles. So there was probably like 60 new names there. So the fact that we even managed to pick out Cabana Man Dan shows that he did that, definitely made an impression over that short period of time.
Absolutely. Right. Time to wrap it up, Graham. I will just say, if I'm sure Graham won't mind this, this week's episode is dedicated to our good friend Aaron Gilbert, who passed away 4 years ago on day of release. We both miss you, buddy. Right, Graham, I'll see you next week, yeah?
Happy St. George's Day for yesterday, Matt.
And you too.
We're out of here.
Boom.
Music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/